When Henry Nguyen first encountered Rembrandt's The Return of the Prodigal Son, something profound stirred within him. The image of a father embracing his kneeling son with tender hands spoke directly to his exhausted soul. This chance encounter with a poster in France would eventually lead Nguyen from Harvard's prestigious halls to a community serving people with intellectual disabilities, a journey where he discovered the true meaning of homecoming. What makes this meditation on a single painting so powerful is how it invites us to see ourselves in each character of Jesus' parable, as the wayward younger son, the resentful elder son, and ultimately as the compassionate father. Through Rembrandt's brushstrokes and Nguyen's reflections, we discovered this isn't someone else's story, it's our own spiritual autobiography. The younger son's departure represented a profound cultural rejection. Asking for inheritance while the father lived was essentially wishing him dead. This mirrors our own spiritual wandering, where we leave our true home with God through subtle shifts in allegiance, becoming deaf to the voice calling us beloved. The world's love is and always will be conditional, Nguyen writes. We search for our true self where our deepest cravings cannot be satisfied. Addiction becomes a spiritual issue, a desperate search for unconditional love in the wrong places. Through achievements, relationships, or possessions, we try to fill a void only God's love can satisfy. The turning point comes when the son comes to his senses in the pigsty, recognizing his death-bound path. Yet his return is ambiguous. Though heading in the right direction, he prepares a speech to secure servant status. His repentance stems not from understanding his father's love, but from basic survival instinct. How often do we approach forgiveness similarly, unable to fully receive it, insisting our darkness is too great? While the younger son's rebellion is obvious, the elder son's lostness is more subtle and perhaps more dangerous. In Rembrandt's painting, both wear red cloaks and have beards, but their postures reveal profound differences. The father bends in embrace, while the elder son stands stiffly, observing without joy. Though physically at home, he too became lost in resentment, judgment, and self-righteousness. His complaint reveals his true heart. All these years I have slaved for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never offered me so much as a kid to celebrate with my friends. When others receive recognition we think we deserve, or when the undeserving receive grace, resentment surfaces. Hearing celebration music, the elder son became suspicious rather than joyful. Returning from resentment is harder than returning from lust, as resentment attaches itself to the underside of virtue. When trying to be generous, we get caught in anger. When accomplishing tasks well, we question others' contributions. At the heart of Rembrandt's painting stands the father, whose compassion transcends understanding. His hands embody both masculine and feminine qualities, the left hand strong and muscular, the right refined and tender, a mother's hand. The father's red cloak forms an arch, suggesting both a welcoming tent and sheltering wings. Beyond the Jewish patriarch emerges a motherly God receiving her son home. The return becomes not just reconciliation with a father, but a return to God's womb, to the very origins of being. While overjoyed at his younger son's return, the father hasn't forgotten the elder son, leaving the celebration to plead with him. His heart remains undivided. His response involves no comparisons. In our world of constant ranking, it's difficult to grasp a love that doesn't compare. Our emotions often stem from measuring ourselves against others. God loves with divine love, granting each person uniqueness. The profound mystery is that we don't choose God. God first chooses us. From eternity, we're hidden in the shadow of God's hand and engraved on His palm. The father's response demonstrates overwhelming grace, interrupting his son's rehearsed speech with immediate forgiveness. He restores his son through powerful symbols, the distinguished robe representing honor, the ring signifying authority, and sandals marking him as a free man rather than a barefoot slave. God's kingdom appears in Scripture as a joyful banquet. The Father's eagerness to celebrate mirrors God's heart toward repentant sinners, with heaven rejoicing over each person who turns homeward, highlighting the infinite value God places on every individual. This divine joy often appears subtly, exemplified by Rembrandt's hidden flute player painted above the scene. Rather than being overwhelmed by global tragedies, we're invited to celebrate small victories, moments of reconciliation, courage, and healing. Moments carrying eternal weight in God's economy. The story presents a choice between cynicism and joy. Cynics pride themselves on realism, finding darkness in every silver lining. Those who have experienced God's joy acknowledge the world's brokenness, but refuse to be defined by it, discovering that even small acts of love can penetrate deep darkness, just as a single candle transforms a darkened room. Nguyen concludes that we're ultimately called to become like the Father, developing hands that forgive, console, heal, and celebrate. This transformation represents spiritual maturity, evolving from fearing God to embodying divine compassion. While identifying with both sons comes naturally, becoming the Father demands a harder, lonelier journey. Rembrandt painted true spiritual paternity only after experiencing profound personal loss. Nguyen sees his aging face resembling his father's, recognizing his call to extend to others the same compassion God offers him. Becoming like the Heavenly Father means abandoning worldly success metrics and finding strength in vulnerability. Nguyen identifies three pathways to compassionate fatherhood: grief, letting the world's sins pierce one's heart; forgiveness, moving beyond resentment to offer unconditional love; and generosity, giving oneself completely. These disciplines create the spiritual freedom needed to welcome home wayward children. The spiritual father must embrace a dreadful emptiness where there's nothing left to lose. This emptiness paradoxically becomes fullness as it creates space for authentic healing. The return of the prodigal son invites us to see ourselves in each character and recognize that the journey home is about spiritual transformation. The painting captures reconciliation through the father's hands, symbolizing divine love's complete embrace. The core spiritual struggle is against self-rejection, not pride. The real sin is denying God's first love and our original goodness. Many successful people mask deep insecurity with achievements, seeking external validation that ultimately leads to exhaustion, as no worldly success can fill the void of self-rejection. The parable reveals a love that exists before and after all rejections, preceding our mistakes, outlasting our failures, and remaining constant through our wanderings. The Father's love breaks social conventions by running to meet His Son, offering forgiveness before confession and celebrating without demanding penance. Whether we identify with the wayward younger son or the dutiful but resentful elder son, the Father's arms remain open to restore us to our true identity as beloved children. The question isn't, how do I find God, but how do I let myself be found?